Our Old Testament lesson for today is from Isaiah, the 6th chapter, reading the first 8 verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And our New Testament lesson is from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, reading the first 11 verses. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw 2 boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the 5th Sunday of Epiphany. We keep clicking them on over. And, we sort of started over a month ago with the early baptism of Jesus and then the temptation. And then you remember Jesus speaking in the temple in Nazareth and realizing who he was a little bit more. And I made the analogy of having a dimmer switch on the wall, a little circular light switch that has clicks. And each time you click it, the lights get a little brighter and a little brighter. And so now we're up to the 5th click, and it's getting a lot brighter about who Jesus is. And, these texts are chosen as part of the lectionary. And so part of Epiphany today is an epiphany not just about who Jesus is, but about who you are and who I am and what God is calling us to, what our vocation with a big V, the call of God is for us, so that we look at our lives and see what God might be calling us to today. Do you know that? Do you know what you're called to? Some of you do. You know, I know right now I'm called to be Trinity's pastor. I don't, you know, if I was out there listening to the sermon, I go, yeah, I know what I'm called to. And some of you know what you're called to today. You already know that. And so this will be a sermon where you sort of learn about calling and maybe about the next time you're called. But there's some of you right now who don't have a sense of what God is calling you to. And it may be because you're really new to the faith. It may be because you're young. It may be because you're old. It may be because you're sick. It may be because you're dealing with pain in your life or grief. There are all kinds of reasons we get kind of derailed. And it's okay for a while to heal and kind of step back and not have to be. But what this scripture is going to say, what we're going to look at today, is that we as Christians, you are called. There's no doubt. You are called, and you're called all the time. And so I think it's going to be helpful for us to kind of see what the elements of God's call is to us and see what you might be called to today. So you might be a person who's already called and know what your call is, or you might be a listener. You might be listening now for God's call. Either way, I hope the sermon will be helpful to you, because we're going to find some real biblical principles for it. And I guess maybe the best way is for me to tell you about one of my calls, and I put it that way because you are called. God calls us at different ways during our lives. And it's not just, you know, I've said a sermon where I talked about being in Montreat as a teenager, Montreat Youth Conference, and the preacher said, give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. And they started playing Just As I Am, and I walked out the back door and went around and started praying and talking to God about my life. That was the first time I felt called just to be a Christian. And then, you know, I've also mentioned recently about being in this Christian band, and you know, I felt a call to that after college. And then this one afternoon, we were in New York City, and I sat on a pew in St. Patrick's Cathedral on Fifth Avenue, trying to pray and see if I should marry Annette, the girl I was really in love with, and also what that meant in terms of what I was called to, because I could not see, if we were going to get married, bringing her into a traveling band, that, especially one that was really crazy, like that one was. And so I left that St. Patrick's Cathedral that afternoon after about 4 hours, knowing that I was being called to seminary. And so there have been various calls in my life. But the one I want to do now, you know, in a way, pastors have it a little clearer than lay people, because you have these churches who call you to be their pastor. And just the fact that they're interested in you makes you wonder if that's God's call to you. And then you have to kind of sort through it. But I was in my second pastorate. I'd been an associate pastor at Conyers Presbyterian Church for 6 years. And I was in my sixth year at the second church, which was I was solo pastor of Gum Creek Presbyterian Church in Oxford, Georgia. And one of the things I've always had to balance in my life is music and preaching. And it seems like they try to exclude the other. That when I'm preaching a lot, I don't do a lot of music. When I'm doing music, I don't do a lot of preaching. As a matter of fact, people don't think you can do both. People think that if you're a preacher, you probably aren't a very good musician. And they think if you're a musician, you're probably not a good preacher. So they try to exclude both of them. But my goal has always been to try to be as good as I can be in both. And so this particular year, I think my sixth year at Gum Creek, I'd been playing in some bands. A couple of friends of mine that listen know Jack and Jim Green. We were playing, we had a band called The Rockets, and we would play at parties and wedding receptions and that kind of thing. And I remember real clearly we were going over what we were supposed to do, and we were playing at the David Rogers wedding reception, and I realized I was officiating that wedding. And so I said, guys, let me see if it's okay with David that I'm also in the band at the wedding, and he thought it was great. And so we had this outdoor wedding in the backyard, and I had my black robe on, and then we, you know, they kiss the bride, and everybody starts going out, and I raise my hands, everybody stands up, and then I take off my robe, leaves with my tie, sit down at the keyboard, and we start playing Double Shot of My Baby's Love. And there were people going by in the buffet line looking at me like, aren't you that guy? So that's always been part of that struggle. And towards the end of my 6th year at Gum Creek, I made an album. I had some connections in the studios in Atlanta, and I made an album, and it was the best thing I had ever done. It was a CD called Already Not Yet, and I had written some songs for it, and I was astounded. I had really good musicians, and I was astounded how good that came out. And I was remember just kind of this struggle with God, like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing with my life where I'm at a church and I'm a pastor, and then I make this record, it's the best thing I've ever done. What are we supposed to do with that? And then, not far after that, my father and mom came down and visited, and they were sitting in the living room, and my dad said, Jim, I'm thinking of retiring in Laurel Hill from the Morgan Company. I wonder if you have any interest in learning how to run the family business, because if you don't, I think we're just going to sell it. We had just had a little boy, and I'd had such a great childhood growing up running around the lake and the woods and stuff. And I said, no, don't sell it. And all of a sudden it hit me, whoa, I could go home and work during the week and learn. And I felt called to that, to learn. I felt like as the son of the family, it was my responsibility to learn, you know, the family business. But then I realized I had my weekends free. And that was, you know, the thing about being a pastor. You had to preach on Sunday morning. You couldn't go do a concert. And most youth events were on weekends, youth conferences and retreats. And then that's when the wheels started to turn in my head, and all of a sudden it locked in. I go, that's what it is. I'm supposed to go work like Paul was a tent maker, work for a living during the week, and then on weekends go do my music ministry at youth events. And so that's what I felt God was calling me to. But, you know, that was a really hard choice. Because when you're a minister, when you're a pastor, it's pretty clear you're doing God's work. You know, I mean, everybody tells you you're doing God's work. You know, you think you feel good about it. You know, you're in the Bible every day. But leaving that to work a secular job and then to do music, even Christian music, I don't know. It just seems kind of less or something. And so it was a big struggle. And one of the things Annette and I did, we both prayed about it quite a bit. And so finally we did. We moved back here to Laurinburg. And I'm not sure everybody at Gum Creek agreed with my decision or thought it was the right thing. But it ended up, I did 10 years of that. And 10 years of traveling, doing music, and speaking at youth conferences. And, you know, I'm confident looking backwards that that was God's call to me and that I should have done that. But look, at that moment, looking forwards, it was very unclear. And I do think, you know, speaking at youth conferences has changed my preaching style, because you can't walk into a group of senior highs on a Friday night. There's so many agendas in the room, and none of them are about what you're about to say. And so it started my pattern of telling stories. You know, everybody says, why do you tell stories so much? That is the way I could get their attention. And so that's become part of my style, and I'm glad it's affected my style here. So that's kind of my story of one of the calls. And of course, now I'm at Trinity Presbyterian Church, and before that I was at Cal D, and you know, I've had other calls. But I want you to be thinking about what your call is, because just because you were called once does not mean you're not called again. You can point at one that you did, but you're still called to things. And so I want you to think about that. So let's go to the text, and you know, the first thing you can see with this thing is, number one, you know, in Luke, those of you who did my Mark Bible study, you'll be happy to know that Luke gets the sequence right. In Mark, it's kind of weird, because the first thing Jesus does after he's baptized is he goes and sees these fishermen and calls them, and it doesn't even say that he's even met. And then they go to Capernaum, and he's in the synagogue teaching, and then they go to Simon's mother-in-law, and he goes into her house and heals her, and then they talk him into keeping on going and not staying in Capernaum. This one has a different order, which makes much more sense to me, which is that Jesus meets all these people. He meets Simon and everything in Capernaum, and he goes to Peter's mother-in-law and heals her and has dinner with Simon Peter, and then he's out there and calls Simon. So I love that Luke's got this sequence right. I believe that's the right sequence. But anyway, in this text, There's at least four principles here I want you to get. And one, the first one is this. God's call doesn't wait for us to get right with God. God's call does not wait on us to get right. You look at both of these things. You know, Isaiah, you know, is called, you know, he's seeing that who's going to speak for us. And he says, woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, and he's going, I can't do it. I'm a sinner. I have unclean lips. And same thing with Peter, verse 8 of Luke. Peter sees, you know, these boats filled with fish, and he falls down at Jesus' knees and says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. So his first reaction is to say, I am not ready for this. I'm a sinner. And what I love is that God calls us not when we get perfect. God is not waiting on you to be perfect to be called. God is calling you now, warts and all, everything you are. And you know Peter had problems. We see Peter's problems all the way through. And the thing to know here is that God only uses sinners. There's no other choices. The only people God uses are sinners. And so that is not your get out of jail card to say, oh no, I'm a sinner. You don't get that. It used to drive me crazy at Gum Creek because most of that church was two big families. And I would always know when they had a family reunion on a Saturday because sometimes Sunday morning the next day I'd have two elders who want to resign from the session. And there would be some big argument or some big thing. And I remember this one woman saying to me, I can't be an elder because the Lord can't use anybody that thinks what I think about Wendell. And I go, come on, y'all. You know, and it's like God can't use sinners. God only uses sinners. And so that's God's call. That's the first thing. God's call doesn't wait for us to get right to call. So don't even just remove that one. Okay, the second thing, God's call asks us for obedience before results. God asks us for obedience before we see results. We obey first, and then we see the miracle. Jesus comes into there, and I think it's interesting. Jesus is standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and people are pressing in on him. Okay, so he's backing up to the lake, to the water, and he saw the boats there, and the fishermen had gone out, they're washing their nets. So they've already fished, they're finished. And he gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asks him to put out a little way from the shore. And we've said this before with these things, it's a natural PA system, the water is. You know, if you're ever on a dock at night, you can hear people way across the lake talking because it bounces off the water, the sound waves do. And so it was a great idea. And so he pushes out a little bit and then he's continuing to speak. So he's doing his thing. He's speaking. And this is his first thing that he's doing in his ministry. And then he says to Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter, you know, Peter sees him as just, you know, he is a preacher. He really doesn't know our business. Their business, they were professional fishermen, commercial fishermen, and they had been working all night. They were tired, and they let him preach in their boat. But, man, that's asking a lot. You know, what does he know? You know? But he's obedient. That's the thing. It didn't make any sense to him, and he's a professional, and he knows what he's doing. But Jesus says, do this, and he goes, all right, I don't think it's going to do anything, but okay. And he pushes out, and he drops in there, and, of course, you know what happens. They catch huge amount of fish. And so the obedience comes before. So if you're thinking of that God might be calling you to something, but it seems a little bit illogical, it seems a little bit crazy, it doesn't seem like you got it all worked out, you're in exactly the right spot. You know, you're not going to see it all. You have to take some chances. It's called faith. You know, the session and I were talking about doing some things this year at the church that we will announce once we got it worked out. And we're not sure it's going to work. We're not sure, but we're going to try. You know, and that's what it is. It's trying. Same thing when we started the choir. You know, we weren't sure what would happen, but it was beautiful. It was wonderful. And that's what God honors, is when you step out in obedience and in faith without being guaranteed the results. Okay, third. First was God doesn't wait for us to get right before he calls. God's call asks us to be for obedience before results. Third, God's call comes to us, specifically who we are and what we value. Now, you think about it, you know, the disciples, you know, Peter, they were professional fishermen, and Jesus gave them their personal best, the best day of their life fishing. He gave it to them. Now, that's the story. It's a famous story. We think of that immediately. But let's say we never heard this story before. You could see that Jesus could have finished talking and thought he did a really good job preaching and just turned to Simon and go, "Would you follow me?" You know, he could have just done that. Or he could have done something a little bit miraculous where he takes a songbird and has a songbird light on the shoulder and say to Peter, "God has need of you." I just made that up. That didn't happen. That's in a different gospel. But he did something that meant something to Simon Peter and those guys. He understood what motivated them, what made them happy, what made them marvel. And so he gave them this huge, huge catch of fish because that's who they were. And so when God calls us, God calls us in a way that's specific to us. God knows you. God knows you better than you know yourself. I've said this before, we used to have this Four Spiritual Laws pamphlet that had a thing that says that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And we used to make a joke, God hates you and has a wonderful man for your wife, but that's not it. God loves you and has a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life, and that God knows you better than you know yourself, and God knows that you have something that only you can do, and you can do it the best. And God will use somebody else if you don't do it, but you're the best person. And so God comes to us specifically because God knows us intimately. And I think, you know, there's the huge catch of fish for Peter. For me, it was that CD I did, that recording that was like, wow, that's the best thing I've ever done. That's the huge catch of fish for me. It was like, oh man, what do I do with this? And that got me moving towards this new call to do, you know, youth ministry around the church and being a speaker at youth camps and a musician at youth camps. So God knows specifically who you are and is going to call you in your own way. Now, here's the fourth thing, and this is the last one, and I want you to pay attention because this is really true. I started out by saying some of you know you're called, you know, when you're a minister and you're at a church, you know you're called there. And then at some point, there's some, you know, kind of turbulence in your soul, and you start feeling like you feel like you need to be called somewhere else. But you don't stop being called because, you know, it's the middle of COVID and nobody's coming to church. You don't stop that. You're still called. You know, you don't stop at a place because you're tired or you'd rather, you know, just spend your time at the beach. You're still called no matter what. And so you're called from one call to another call. Even if you're sick, even if you're retired, even if you're just a kid in school, you're called to something. And here's the thing. Either you know you have a call right now or you are listening for a call. And either one of those can be happening for us as you're listening here today. But the thing is that God calls all Christians, not some, not just ministers, not just people who are on staff, churches. God calls you. God calls all Christians. You don't get a pass because you don't get to say, oh, well, that woman is spiritual. She's a pastor. You know, you don't get to say that. You get to say, God, what are you calling me to? And we're called more than once. We're called regularly to do things. So this could be your first call, but it could be your 10th. I haven't ever counted them up. I've told you three or four of mine. You could be called to something else. But here's the point. From the start, Jesus did Jesus's work through people. You know, think about it. This is the first thing he did. This is the first thing. He got baptized, and then he called these disciples, and this is the way he does business. This is what God wants to do. Jesus didn't just come in there and just preach forever. You know, he was preaching, But as soon as he saw those guys, he said, these are some of them. He always works through disciples. He always works through the church, through church people, through Christians. That's the way God chose to do it. It's his M.O. You were called because that's the way God chose to do ministry in this world. And he was right. It would have never come to us if it hadn't been for other people, you know, in our childhood, and then it wouldn't have come to them if there hadn't been people before them. And that's the way it works. He works through people. He didn't do it alone. And he started that day preaching and ended it with his disciples. And if you are a Christian, you are called. That's it. End of story. You are called. And the thing is to find out what it is. Right now, this day, you are called. And I want to close with a quote from Will Willimon, who... He is a bishop in the United Methodist Church, but he was also the preacher at the Duke University Chapel, which is a beautiful Gothic cathedral on the Duke campus, and a wonderful preacher. And he sounds a whole lot more like a Presbyterian when he's saying this than he does, you know, a Methodist, but he's saying it. And I have it in your, it's a little long for the ear, so I encourage you to look in your extras, scroll down there and read it with me because it's a little bit long just to listen to. But it's really, I usually quote Frederick Buechner with Vocation, you know, the place God calls you to is where the world's great need and your deep gladness meet. But my kids jump on me for doing these same illustrations all the time. So I had to find a new vocation. So this is the Vocation by Will Willimon. And it's a little harsher than the Buechner one. Vocation, Christian vocation, is not evoked by your bundle of need and desire, what you want. Vacation is what God wants from you, whereby your life is transformed into a consequence of God's redemption of the world. The talents God gives at birth are nothing compared to the gift of vocation. Look no further than Jesus' disciples. Remarkably mediocre, untalented, lackluster yokels, to see that innate talent or inner yearning has less to do with vocation than God's thing for redeeming lives by assigning us something to do for God. Vocation is not an indication within awaiting discovery by rooting around in the recesses of the ego or a means of getting what I want out of life. As Jesus succinctly says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, John 15. I put that verse up there with, it was God who made us and not we ourselves, as one of the most important countercultural verses in Scripture. Okay, and here's the last paragraph, and this is just focus. If you lost that, just really focus here, because this is it. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, don't ever forget, discipleship, working with me, was my idea before it was yours. You didn't search for something fulfilling to do with your life and then chose me. I chose you. And why did I choose you? So that you could have a happier, more fulfilling life? Forget it. I chose you that you might go and bear fruit for me. So what has God chosen you for this day? Yeah, you've been chosen before and you've answered the call before, but now there's a new call. There's things that you can do now. And I would suggest that if it doesn't just become clear, that you have patience and pray for it every day. Pray that God would show you what you're called to do, and then you'll find it. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you that you have a plan for us, that you have a plan for why you put us here on the planet, and that you continually call us to do work in your kingdom. For those who've never answered that call, give them the faith. Give them what they need, whatever it is, the understanding to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. And for those who have followed you before many times, give us vision again of what our next call is and give us the gift of obedience to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.